Okay, good morning, church. My name is Stephen Montgomery, and my wife is somewhere around here, Yvette, and I work at Daimler at Mercedes-Benz. I'm an industrial engineer, and Andre and Sonika send their love. Sonika is in Georgia at the moment, and Andre is obviously in Mumbai. He's preaching there this morning. But before I get into my topic, I just want to spend a couple of minutes just setting the context for today's message. And Sonika preached last week on this topic of being drawn by love. And I'm so grateful for that, because that's where everything starts. And this concept of being drawn by God is fundamental to our Christian faith. That's where everything starts. Everything starts from first being drawn by God, getting into His presence. You know, when we look at the Gospels, we see that Jesus went and He called the fishermen. He said, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me so that I could give you life. Come, follow me so that I could give you love. Come, follow me so that I could set you free, so that I could make disciples out of you. Come, follow me so that, you know, I can take away your bondages. Come, so that I could heal you physically, emotionally, and spiritually." And today, God is still saying the same to us. Before anything else, He's first saying, "Come, come to me so that I could give you life, and life in abundance." And after that, then we see that not only does Jesus do that, but He actually starts to walk a road with these fishermen, and then He makes disciples out of this fishermen by spending time with them, building relationship with them, and teaches them how to love. So first He draws us by His love, and then He actually equips us to go out and love. And today God is still doing the same. He's still teaching us. He's still equipping us how to love. He's equipping us through His Word. He's equipping us through His voice, through relationship with Him, and He's equipping us through the church, you know, preaching and teaching and so forth. And not only did God do that, but He also then gives us the free gift of the Holy Spirit. To anybody who asks, He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gave the disciples the Holy Spirit, who empowered them to go out and to, you know, spread the gospel. And that is where this morning's topic actually starts. This morning's topic is being sent by love. Being sent by love. Now, I wanted to sketch that other context, because this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to be sent by love without first being drawn by love and then being equipped to love. And then we're at that place to be sent by love. And then we see at the end of the Gospels, we see that Jesus actually now, after equipping them, after drawing them, after equipping them, then He actually says, "Now go out to all the nations and make disciples of all the nations." And God is still this morning and today, He's still commanding us to go out to the nations and to make disciples of all the nations. Okay, so there's a little bit of a background. Let's get into the first scripture. First scripture there, James 2, verse 14 to 19. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which is needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Now, what is James telling us in this piece of scripture? He's very simply, he's just saying that faith without works is dead. You cannot say that you have faith, but there's no works. You can't say that you believe, but there's no actions. You're taking no actions on that you believe. You can't say that you've been drawn by love, but you've got no desire to be sent. You've got no desire to be sent by His love. And it's interesting that in the end there of that verse, it says, you know, not believing only is not faith. Just to believe is not faith. He says even the demons believe. Even the devil believes that there is God. That doesn't mean you've got faith. Belief and works have to go together. Faith and works have to go together. So that's just the first scripture that I wanted to share with you. Let's go to the next scripture. In Matthew 9. Verse 36 to 38. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now let's look at the first piece of that scripture. See, God wants us to see the multitudes. He wants us to see that there's many people around us at work, at gym, friends and family. Many people are going astray. Many people are like sheep without a shepherd, and they're going astray. Many people are without Christ. And, you know, we forget that because of the sinful, because of Adam and Eve sinning in Genesis, our default path when we are born, our default path is actually leads to hell. And unless we make the decision, unless we repent and turn from our wicked ways and come to the cross, unless we are drawn by his love and repent and receive life from him, we are all leading towards a road of destruction. I'm going to read the scripture. It's not on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now I'm trusting this morning that our eyes would open up, our eyes, spiritual eyes and physical eyes would open up, so that we will see that there's many, many people that's going astray, and many, many people on this broad road leading to destruction. And we as a church have the only means or only answer to that. We've got the good news of the gospel. But the gospel is only good news when it reaches people in time. Would you agree with me? The gospel is only the good news when it reaches people in time. You know, last week I read in the paper that over the Easter weekend alone, I think more than 100 people passed away due to road accidents. Now I'm asking myself the question, did the gospel, did the good news reach these people in time? If we look at the second slide, or second part of that scripture, Matthew 9 verse 37, you know, it's interesting that after Jesus sees all these multitudes, he then says, "Now pray for the laborers." He doesn't say, "Pray for the harvest." He doesn't say, "Pray for the multitudes." Don't pray for the lost. He says, the lost is there. The harvest is out there. The harvest is plentiful. He says, "Pray for the laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest so he might send out the laborers." Now, who's the laborers? Who are the laborers? Is the pastor, the person standing in front, some missionary far there in Africa? No, the laborers are you and me. It's ordinary people that have been drawn by love, equipped to love, and they are being sent out by God to go in love. You know, any farmer, any good farmer would know that he doesn't just wait. When the harvest is ready, he doesn't just wait and the crops just jump out of the ground and bundle together and go into the storehouse. No, he sends out laborers. They go cut the crops down, they bundle it together, and they bring it into the storehouse. And it's similar to us, for us in Christianity. You know, the world is not going to come into church to receive Christ. The world is not going to come into church to receive Christ. We as the church need to go into the world to introduce them to Christ. Amen? It's a good time to say amen there. You know, when Christians say they are borders, so that just blows my mind. I don't understand there, because the scripture says the harvest is plentiful. There's so many people, so many lost souls out there. How can we say, you know, we are bored? You know, we can't afford anymore to be Sunday Christians only. You know, coming to church on a Sunday, that doesn't make you a Christian. You're already a Christian, and because you're a Christian, you come to church. But it's like, if I tell my wife, "Hey, I'm going to go sleep in the garage now for the next 2 days," I'm not going to become a car. You know? Similar, coming to church is not going to make you a Christian. And the main reason for us actually coming to Sundays, coming to church on Sundays, is because we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate as a group of believers together. Celebrate what? What do we want to celebrate? Yes, we celebrate Jesus. We want to celebrate the demonstration that took place in the week, the previous week. You know, in church, we are supposed to celebrate the love. celebrate Christ, celebrate the love of Christ. Out there in the world, in the week, we need to demonstrate the love. So let's just read that piece. Is it up there? Celebration. Okay, let's read together. Sunday services should be a celebration of the demonstration of love that took place through our lives during the week. In here, we celebrate what happened in the past week. Out there, we go and demonstrate. You know, many people during worship, they can't connect to God, especially because they've got nothing to celebrate. There's been no demonstration in the week, and we come on Sundays, and there's nothing for us to celebrate. Well, I challenge you, go out into the harvest and become a laborer and demonstrate the love, and you'll be coming here on Sundays, and you'll be full of celebration, and it'll be much easier for you actually to tap into God through worship. You know, what makes becoming a laborer so beautiful is that it gives us a fresh revelation of the power of the cross. Why? Because when you lead someone to Christ, you're reminded of that day, of that point in time, when you yourself, you know, had that meeting with Christ, the first time you met with Christ, that transformation that took place in your life when you met him. Every time you lead someone to Christ, you're reminded of that. And it gives you a fresh revelation of the power of the cross. Now, I want to ask you guys this morning, and you must be honest, I'm speaking to Christians here this morning. Who of you have grown cold towards the cross of Christ? When you see the cross, when you hear about the cross, who's grown cold towards the cross of Christ? It does nothing to you anymore. And I want to ask you the next question is, when last have you led someone to Christ? Because those go hand in hand together. You know, leading people to Christ keeps our hearts soft. It keeps our eyes focused on Jesus. It gives us a revelational knowledge of the power and the transformational work that the cross has. Now, I know many of you are sitting here this morning and thinking, ah, Stephen, you know, that's just not the person who I am. You know, I can't lead people to Christ. You know, I'm just little old me, you know. I can't go out and do the work. What would, in any case, I mean, there's so much to be done. My 5 cents, what would that, you know, what would that change? Now, let's just take that thought and let's just analyze it for a second and think, is that coming from God? Or is that coming from the devil? You know, because Scripture is saying, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves us. He who lives in me is greater than he who lives in the world. Behold, I've given you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemies, and nothing will by any means hurt you. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do nothing. I can't make a difference. And Scripture is telling us you can do all things through Christ Jesus who loves you. You are more than a conqueror. Guys, we have to stop believing the lies. We have to throw out the lies and start believing what Scripture is telling us. For Christians, Scripture is the ultimate authority and truth in our lives. We need to start believing what God is saying to us, what he's telling you. You know, I can think of many examples in Scripture of people, single men and women that stood up and said yes to the calling of God for their lives, and who changed nations and generations to come. I mean, I think of Abraham, of Esther, of Moses. Moses had a stutter. He was like, he couldn't speak before people. And God said, no, you're going to go. You've got a stutter, but you're going to go, and you're going to lead the whole Israelite folk, the whole Israelite nation, whole Israelite nation out of Egypt. And he did so. When he went, the Holy Spirit came, and it was powerful. He did it with demonstration. In our modern society, I think of ordinary people like Uncle Angus Buchan, a former ordinary guy, you know, that said yes to the call of God on his life. And he's changing and touching and impacting thousands of men's lives. He has already, and he's still doing it. It's not only in South Africa, also abroad. I'm thinking of Heidi Baker, who heard that God said she was going to plant an orphanage in Mozambique. And she started off there, and today, I think it's the biggest orphanage in the world, or at least close to the biggest. And they're sending thousands of or hundreds of mission teams out every year from that Iris Ministries and loads of people's lives are being transformed through her saying yes to the call of God. As a single person, a single lady. I'm thinking of Reinhard Bonnke. You know, he's been an evangelist for quite some time, and he received this vision of God to come to Africa and to start, you know, doing crusades to the lost. Actually, I think he started in Lesotho. And for the first 7 years, he didn't, like, see anything miraculous. They kept meeting, but there were a few people coming. And then God started to bring the increase. And today, when he has a crusade, there are millions of people coming. Literally millions of people coming. I'm going to show you a clip now of him. And you'll see loads of people. And that's just at these different crusades. And you know, at one of these crusades, there was 3.4 million people, not there, 3.4 million people responding, giving their lives to Christ in one single day. One person saying, yes, God, I'm open. I want to be used by you. Now, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will excite you. But there are many. The harvest is plentiful. You can see the harvest is plentiful. And when I saw that, I just thought to myself, God, my dreams are just too small, you know. I'm thinking of touching a couple of people and transforming some people's life at work or transforming people's lives in East London. And God's saying, ask me for the nations. Ask me for East London. Ask me for the East Coast. Ask me for South Africa. Ask me for Africa. You know, the possibilities with God is endless. And I think it's a good time for us now to do a declaration. And I'm just going to read the declaration for you. Then I want us all to declare this. Is it up there? Yes, okay. I declare by faith that I am a strong witness for Jesus Christ. My eyes are opened and my spirit is attentive to recognize opportunities to speak the gospel to people who are unsaved. When I speak to them, they listen with an open heart and want to hear what I have to say. Because of my bold witness, my family, friends, acquaintances, and fellow workers are being saved. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. I declare by faith that I am a strong witness for Jesus Christ. My eyes are opened and my spirit is attentive to recognize opportunities to speak the gospel to people who are unsaved. When I speak to them, they listen with an open heart. And what I hear, what I have to say, when they hear what I have to say, because of my bold witness, my family, my friends, acquaintances, and fellow workers are being saved. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Are you believing that? Are you believing that I'm looking at people this morning and I'm thinking, I'm seeing world changers. I'm seeing history makers. God is saying, just raise your hand. Just put your trust in me. Just say yes to my calling on your life. Let's take a look at another piece of scripture in James 1:22. And this basically sums up my whole message for this morning so far. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What is James saying? He says, we cannot only be hearers of the word, we need to be doers as well. You know, and so many Christians neglect this part. They hear, but they never get to the part where they exercise their faith. And they become what I like to call spiritually obese. You know, it's like they listen, and listen some more. And then they read, and read some more. But they never get to the point where they actually exercise what they read. They actually exercise what they have heard. You know, and in the kingdom of God, they become, because they're obese, they literally can't move anymore. You know, they're actually useless in the kingdom of God. But God hasn't called us to be couch potatoes being spiritually obese. He's called us to hear from Him and go out to spread the word. Now, many, you know, it's actually quite easy to become like spiritually obese. And it's happened to me quite a couple of times because it's a comfort zone. It's nice to sit at home and, you know, just read your Bible. And we actually convince ourselves to say we are doing the work of God. I mean, reading is hard work, you know, especially for us men. Reading is super hard work, you know. And I'm not reading the Bible only. I'm also even reading like Evangelizing Nations. I'm reading that book, man. And I'm even watching crusades, man. I'm basically this close to just call myself the world evangelized person or something like that. But we both, or all of us know that that doesn't really help anything in the kingdom of God. Just hearing without doing doesn't have any effect in the kingdom of God. So we must move to a place, out of the place of just be hearers and become doers. Okay. So maybe you're here this morning and you're asking, Stephen, where do I start? I mean, it's so vast out there. So many people. Where do I actually start? And I want to say to you this morning, just start anywhere. Start somewhere. Start small. Now, it's a small random act of kindness that unlocks the larger doors of significance. Practically, this can look like you're driving to work and there's someone that walks along the road and God is just, the Holy Spirit is just softly telling you, hey, pick that guy up. And you pick him up and you take him to work. It can be when you're at work, you see, oh, this guy's struggling, he's got a bad day. You just bring a word of encouragement. You can see, hey, this person, you know, they need the healing. They need ministering to you. Ask if you can pray for them. You pray for them and God can heal them. That's practically how this works and how it looks. You know, and for quite some time, I was like this. I was praying to God and asking Him, God, what is Your calling for my life? What is Your what's the destiny for my life? Where what do You want me to do in this life? And I used to pray at home, but I realized that it doesn't work like that. You know, God cannot steer a ship that's stagnant. The ship has to move. The vessel has to move. And as we go, God steers us. We can't sit and say, God, give us this revelation. Show us what we need to do. No, we have to go out there. We have to become laborers in the harvest field. And while we're doing the work of God, He can steer us. He can move us and say, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. You know, especially in the charismatic church, we've got this thing that we pray to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, do this. Holy Spirit, do that. Holy Spirit, touch these people's lives. Holy Spirit, do this. But Scripture says the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, meaning He's the one that comes alongside. He's the one that helps. He's the one that guides. He's the one that directs. He gives us knowledge and wisdom. Who's the doers? Not the Holy Spirit. We are the doers, the laborers, the church, the Christians. We are the doers. Amen. Good place to say amen again. So it really doesn't, you know, it really doesn't matter where we start, as long as we move from being hearers only and become doers. And the band, you guys can come up so long. And this morning I want to give opportunity for people to respond. I want to give opportunity for people, if you've grown cold towards the cross of Christ, you know that you've been called to minister to people, to go out and spread the gospel, but you've actually grown cold and you're stagnant. That, you're at that place where you're only hearing, but you're not doing. I'm going to give an opportunity for you to respond a little bit later. I just first want to read this quote to you from Theodore Roosevelt. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deed, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails with daring greatly, while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've made a decision in my heart to go out in the harvest field. I've made the decision that I don't want to stand at the end of my life, think back that, yo, Stephen, you spent your whole life and you were actually just on the bench. You were just a bench warmer. You were just in the stands. You were just a spectator of this game of life that happened. No, I've made the decision that I want to be on the field. I want to be a player in this life. I want to be a laborer in the harvest field. I want to challenge you guys this morning to join me. join me in the harvest, to join me in becoming laborers.